Before I give the correct answer, just a technical note about the musical tone you just heard. Should you wish to replay a section of this tape, with mini tape players, if you depress the play button while depressing the rewind button, you still hear sound. Thus, by listening for the musical tone you just heard, this tone can act as a marker to rewind or replay a section you just listened to. The correct answer is A. You may not reveal the information about Sharon's award. The NASW Code of Ethics Standard 2.02 states that you should respect confidentiality shared by colleagues in the course of their professional relationship and transactions. Answer B, may reveal the information about Sharon's award, is incorrect, because, as just indicated, the NASW Code of Ethics states that you should respect confidential information. C, may reveal the information because it is favorable, is incorrect, because the confidentiality of information is not limited to derogatory information. As you know, it applies to any information received from a client or a colleague about a client. D, may reveal the information, but only after contacting the client for her permission, is incorrect, because neither you nor your colleague should be contacting the client about this issue. If you were to contact the client, it would damage the trusting relationship between the client and your colleague. Your colleague should not seek the client's consent, because such action would involve a dual relationship. Your colleague's purpose with this client is to help her resolve her psychosocial problems and achieve her treatment goals and objectives. Incidentally, as you will note, the course content manual contains the confidentiality portion of the Code of Ethics for the National Association of Social Workers, the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, National Board of Certified Counselors, and the American Psychological Association. For the purposes of brevity, the basis of the case study examples will be the National Association of Social Workers Code of Ethics, the NASW, AAMFT, NBCC, and APA codes are very similar. So let's go to the first module, Who Needs Ethics Anyway? This is based on an article by Anthony Weston. Mr. Weston states, why isn't it enough to follow our feelings when we are thinking about what we should do or how we should live? Take prejudice. To be prejudiced is to have a strong negative feeling about someone who is of a different ethnic background or gender or age or social class from yourself. If ethics were just a matter of feelings, then there would be nothing to say against such prejudices. It would be perfectly ethical to discriminate against people you don't like. Ethics, instead, may challenge these very feelings. Prejudice, literally, as you know, means prejudge. It is one way of not really paying attention. We need to ask why we feel as we do, whether our beliefs and our feelings are true or fair. Only by thinking these feelings through can we begin to recognize their limits and then, if necessary, change them. Ethics ask us to live mindfully, to take some care about how we act and even how we feel. Instincts and feelings may oversimplify complex situations. We want things to feel clear-cut, even when they're not, so we may persuade ourselves that they are. Mindful thinking, by contrast, is more patient. We may have to live with some questions for a long time before we can decide how we ought to feel about them. And in this home study course, incidentally, you'll be hearing about several issues that you may be thinking about for a long time. Our feelings are also easily manipulated at times. For instance, if it's easy to be swayed either way by loaded language that plays upon our emotions. Here's an emotional topic. If you define abortion as baby killing, and you create a negative feeling, that closes the case against abortion before it can even be opened. Now, I'm not turning this ethics course into a pro-life or pro-choice argument, but the point to be made here is, either way, we are led into a prepackaged emotional commitment without even thinking it through. Habit and conformity take over. However, mindful thinking, by contrast, is more complex and open-minded. It is in this spirit that ethics approaches controversial issues, and we'll examine several of those in this home study course, like professional ethics. These questions cannot be intelligently answered by just consulting our feelings. There are too many different possibilities, too many different ways of looking at the cases. And in this home study course, we'll examine a case of a severe burn victim, child abuse, and an elderly person and self-determination, just to mention a few. Too many different opinions and prejudices are found on all sides that need to be carefully sorted out. Again, it takes some time and some care, and maybe even some degree of compromise. As you will know, much more creative thinking is needed about issues in the gray areas than we usually suspect. But the key words are creative thinking. Here's a summary of what the Code of Ethics states. A. Respect your client's right to privacy. Do not solicit private information unless it is essential to providing services or conducting research. Once private information is shared, standards of confidentiality apply. Now, this sounds pretty straightforward, but later in this course, we'll talk about a physician's conflict that he had between two patients and violating confidentiality for one or the other. B. You may disclose confidential information with a written consent form. The client or other person legally authorized to consent on behalf of the client. C. Protect confidentiality except for compelling professional reasons such as, and we'll spend quite a bit of time on this, 1. To prevent serious, foreseeable, and imminent harm to a client or identifiable others. And we'll talk about the Tarasoff decision. 2. When laws or regulations require disclosure without client consent. So three key ethical issues are the right to privacy, protecting the client or others from harm, and laws of disclosure. Let's go to question 2. You see your client, Mildred B., in the mall. You should A. Say hello to the client and continue walking, or B. Say hello and ask how Mildred feels about this accidental meeting in the mall. C. Act as if you do not see the client. Or D. Carefully observe the client's social functioning in this community setting.